The story of Jonah running away from the command of God is a story, of course, that is well known to us all. God's will for Jonah was to go to the city of Nineveh and preach against the sin of Nineveh. But instead of Jonah obeying the command of God, he boarded a ship that was going in the opposite direction. In other words, Jonah disobeyed the word of God and began to run away from the presence of the Lord. Now, of course, it's impossible to run away from the presence of God. The Bible tells us in Jonah 1 that God sent a great wind into the sea, with the result that the ship that Jonah was sailing on was in danger of being broken up in the storm. When we come to Jonah 1 and verse 6, the storm that God had sent was at its height. The sailors on the ship, along with the shipmaster, were at wit's end corner. They knew that unless they received divine intervention, that they would all lose their lives and perish in the midst of the sea. Therefore, they exhorted all on board the ship to call upon their God. But in verse 6, Jonah is found sleeping by the shipmaster, with the result that he receives a sharp rebuke from the captain in the words of our text. Look what it says. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. These, of course, are very familiar words, I'm sure, to us all. But today, as we come to consider these words, I want just for a few moments at the end of our service today to draw your attention to this subject, the church asleep. And I pray that the message might be a wake-up call to us all who profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely we're living in a day of coldness and a day of dearth in the church of Jesus Christ. And if there's a day and age when we need revival, when we need the Lord to come in power, surely it is this day and age in which we live. And I pray that the Lord will bless this message and this word to all of our hearts, especially those of us here who are saved and born again of the Spirit of God. I want you to notice very simply a number of things here. First of all, I want you to notice that Jonah was sleeping when he should have been praying. I wonder, did you notice that in verse 6? Look at verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? It's evident here that Jonah was asleep. And the shipmaster says, Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Here Jonah is exhorted to awake from his sleep and to start praying to his God. There's no doubt here that Jonah had lost out with the Lord. Now, of course, you're familiar, I'm sure, with the circumstances here. We've already made mention of them in the introduction to the message. Jonah was running away from the Lord, trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. The Lord had commanded him to go to Nineveh to preach against the sin of that great city. But instead of Jonah obeying the command of God, he went in the opposite direction. Therefore, we have a man here, a child of God, who was out of touch with the Lord. And of course, when you get out of touch with God, you grow cold in your Christian life. And one of the first things that you start to do is this, you stop praying. And Jonah had stopped praying. He had stopped having fellowship with the Lord. Jonah is not the only servant of God, however, in the Bible, that was sleeping when he should have been praying. And there are many examples in the Word of God concerning God's people sleeping when they should have been praying. Just keep your hand in Jonah chapter 1 for a moment, and turn over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Again, this is a familiar portion of Scripture. Here we have the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. And take a look there with me at verse 36 of this portion of Scripture, Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. Now the Lord Jesus, as he went a little further, he expected the disciples to watch with him. In other words, he expected them to pray. But look at verse 39. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he came unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep. And saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Here we have another example of God's children sleeping when they should have been praying. And in this regard, they were like Jonah. Child of God, the church today is sleeping when it should be praying. I believe that the church, and when I speak about the church, I'm speaking about the church as a whole. We have lost our vision for prayer. And surely if there's a day and age when the church of Jesus Christ must pray, then it is this day and age in which we live. In Romans 13 and verse 11, we read these words, Now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 6, we read these words, Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. I pray today that the Lord will give us a vision again for the place of prayer. If there's a day when the prayer meetings of the church need to be full, then it is this day and age in which we live. But sadly today, many of God's people are asleep when they should be praying. I wonder, did you ever read that verse? I'm sure you have, in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 1. Just turn over to it and underline it in your Bible. Because what a wonderful text of Scripture it is. It's a text of Scripture that exhorts us, indeed commands us, to awake to spiritual things. And this is what the text says. Underline it in your Bible. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem. My, we need in these days to awake, to realize that we need the Lord more than anything else. Where does the church receive her strength? Well, of course, you know the answer to that. The church receives her strength around the throne of grace in prayer. We're all familiar with Isaiah chapter 40. Just turn over to it. Let us remind ourselves again of what the prophet here exhorts us. Look at verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Isn't that what we need today as God's people? We need the power of God in the church. We need the power of God in our lives. We need the strength of the Lord to serve him. If we're going to see anything done for the Lord in this 21st century, then we need the power of the Holy Ghost upon us. Look at verse 30, however. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But, and here's the secret of our strength, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And of course, that text of Scripture draws our attention to the great promise concerning prayer and seeking the face of the Lord. Oh, dear child of God, it is not a time for sleeping. It is a time for praying. It is not a time for sleeping. It is a time for seeking the Lord with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds. Maybe there's someone here today, a child of God, and perhaps you haven't been to the prayer meeting for some time. Perhaps there's a young Christian here, and it's not your practice to go to the prayer meeting during the week to the church here. Well, I would exhort you. Indeed, the Lord would exhort you. The Lord would command you. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And there's a special blessing for those who wait upon the Lord and who come and seek the face of the Lord around the throne of grace. Oh, let nothing stop you from praying. Let nothing stop you from waiting before God and praying and seeking His face. Because the special promise is, they shall renew their strength. And believe you, me, child of God, in this day in which we live, we need the strength of the Lord to walk with the Lord. We need the strength of the Lord to worship the Lord. We need the strength of the Lord to witness for the Lord. We need the strength of the Lord in these days, because the devil is doing everything within his power to weaken the body of Christ. The Bible says that the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And it's sad when you hear of Christians backsliding. It's sad when you hear of Christians falling into sin. It is sad when you hear of Christians turning back and walking in the beggarly elements of this world again. Child of God, we need to pray more. We need to pray and seek the face of the Lord. Jonah had stopped praying. Jonah had stopped seeking the face of the Lord. And he was losing out with the Lord big time. Is the church asleep today? Is it asleep? Oh, I pray that it will not be said of the people of Garva, why sleepest thou? It will not be said of the people of Enniskillen, why sleepest thou? But that even in these days that we will be alert, especially when it comes to this business of praying, we need to seek the Lord in these days with all our hearts. And of course, it's not just a matter of going to the place of prayer, but we need to call upon the Lord when we get there. We need to seek the Lord with all our hearts. But turn back again to the book of Jonah. I want you to notice, secondly here, that Jonah was sleeping when all those around him were on the verge of perishing. Now, I wonder, did you note that as you read down verse 6? Look at it very, very carefully. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Underline those words. Humanly speaking, the ship was about to go down. Therefore, all lives on board the ship would perish in a watery grave. The situation, of course, was very serious. Now, you and I have the benefit of knowing the end of the story. We know that the ship didn't sink, and we know why it didn't sink. But at this point, when this shipmaster spoke these words to Jonah, as far as the shipmaster was concerned, the ship was going to sink. And of course, this shipmaster and the sailors of the ship, they were hardened sailors. They would have been used to storms and even great storms. But this was an unusual storm. And such was the ferocity of this storm that the shipmaster and those hardened sailors believed that the ship was going to sink. So we have a serious situation here. And yet, although this is a serious situation, what is Jonah the child of God doing in this very serious situation? He's sleeping. When all the men are about to perish, while men around him are on the verge of losing their lives. Jonah is sleeping. O child of God, while the church sleeps, souls are perishing. I want you to think about that just for a moment. When the church of Jesus Christ sleeps, souls are perishing. The Bible describes this world as a world that is lost and a world that is perishing. What a responsibility, therefore, is placed upon the church of Jesus Christ today. Our responsibility, of course, as believers, is to deliver the perishing and win them to Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22, "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Paul, of course, was a great soul winner. And you'll be aware that he went on three great missionary journeys. But what love and what zeal Paul had for the souls of men. Child of God, we must seek to snatch men who are perishing as brands from the burning. Now, I know, and you know, that we cannot save a soul, because salvation is of the Lord. And indeed, even in the book of Jonah, this great truth is declared in Jonah 2, verse 9. Salvation is of the Lord. God is a sovereign God, and God will save to the uttermost all that come to him. But you know, it is our responsibility as Christians and as a part of the church of Jesus Christ to seek to win men to the Lord. In Jude, verse 23, it says, "And others saved with fire, pulling them out of the fire." And of course, the Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." I'm often reminded of the story of Andrew in the Bible. And again, it's a familiar story, I'm sure, to most of us. Just turn over to John chapter 1 there for a moment. And what a wonderful portion of scripture it is. Andrew, of course, meets the Lord, and the Lord saves him. And then Andrew has this great burden and this great desire in his heart to see his brother Peter saved. And we read in verse 40, "One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon." Underline that. I believe when it says "he first findeth," it means more than Peter was the first person that he spoke to about the Lord. I believe there's urgency there. He first findeth. There's urgency in Andrew's witness here, and Andrew's seeking out of his brother. He first findeth with haste, with urgency, his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. My friend, when you're asleep spiritually, you'll not bring many to Jesus. When you're asleep spiritually, when you've lost out with God, as Jonah had lost out with God. Jonah, he wasn't thinking about the sailors on the ship. They were ungodly men. They were praying to their own God. And even this shipmaster, at the beginning of the story, did not know the Lord Jehovah. And instead of Jonah having a burden and having a concern for those in the ship and seeking to point them to the true God, what is he doing? He's sleeping. He's sleeping. You see, a church that is asleep will have no burden for the lost, will have no concern for the souls of men. Of course, our greatest example is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was, when he walked upon this earth, he was the master soul winner. And of course, when we study John chapter 4, when the Lord saved the woman of Samaria, you're all familiar with what the beginning of that chapter says. It says this, that he must needs go through Samaria. He didn't have to go through Samaria to get to the destination where he was going, you know. But he must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because there was an old sinful woman in Samaria. The woman of Samaria. And the Lord went that way, of course, to save her and to redeem her. I think of the night he spoke to Nicodemus, that religious Pharisee. What love Christ had for that woman. Indeed, throughout our Lord's earthly ministry, he continued to go to village, from village to village and from city to city, preaching the gospel to men and women to see them saved and brought into the kingdom of God. O child of God, do we have a burden? That's the challenge, not only to your heart, but to my heart as well. Because, you know, it's so easy even for preachers and ministers to lose their zeal and to lose their burden. And we must never forget that. And that's why even the minister needs to pray, O God, increase my burden, increase my zeal, and increase my love for the lost souls of men and women. Oh, we have only one life. It'll soon be past, and only what's done for Jesus will last. Jonah was sleeping when he should have been praying. Jonah was sleeping when he should have been considering those who were perishing all around him. And I tell you today, when the church sleeps, when the church has lost its zeal, when the church has lost its power, when the church has lost its vision, men and women perish. The Bible says without a vision, people perish. Oh, what a sad state Jonah was in. In verse 6 of Jonah chapter 1. Turn back again to it. Let me say something else here. Jonah was sleeping when he knew the truth. Jonah knew why the storm had come. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. And Jonah knew how the storm could be brought to an end. Take a look there at verse 12 of Jonah chapter 1. And he said unto them, this is Jonah speaking, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Jonah knew why the storm had come. And Jonah knew how the storm could be brought to an end. And yet, although he had this knowledge, instead of sharing it with the troubled seamen, he kept it to himself and went fast to sleep. He was sleeping through the storm. Although he had the knowledge of the truth. I want you to think about that just for a moment. Jonah had the truth, but he withheld it. Jonah was sleeping when he had the means of saving everyone on board the ship. He had the means of calming the storm. He had the truth. You know, child of God, as the church sleeps, the truth is withheld from a world that is dying in sin. If the church of Christ does not preach forth the truth of the gospel, then there is no one else to do it. The Bible describes you and I as the witnesses of Christ. We are his witnesses. We are those who have the truth. But let us not withhold that truth from those who are dying in their sins. Let us not sleep spiritually while the day of opportunity passes. But let us arise and tell forth the message of the gospel. Isn't it wonderful to know the truth and to have the truth? We have it before us today. The truth, of course, is God's precious, precious word. And of course, that's why the Lord was sending Jonah to Nineveh, because God wanted him to preach the truth. And of course, when he eventually went to Nineveh and preached the truth, revival came, and God spared the city. God saved many hundreds, yea, thousands of souls as Jonah preached the truth. But he didn't see much done when he was sleeping in the ship in the midst of the storm. Oh, what a solemn lesson there is here for you. And that's a simple lesson, but what a solemn lesson it is. My friend, we must sound forth the message of the gospel. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And was it not the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to young Timothy over there in 2 Timothy and the chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine." I want you to turn over just for a moment, and with this, we're almost finished, to Ezekiel chapter 3. Again, perhaps it's a familiar passage of Scripture to most of us, but in this portion of Scripture, we have a very solemn warning to the church. And what a solemn warning it is. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me." It's not a pleasant thing to warn men about hell and to tell men that they're a sinner and that they're on their way to a Christless eternity. But my friend, that's the truth. But we must preach the full counsel of God. Thank God that means not only warning men to flee from the wrath to come, but it also means telling them of the means of escape, that the Lord Jesus Christ has died and shed his precious blood upon the cross, and that if sinners come and trust in him as their own and personal redeemer, then they will be delivered from judgment to come. And here we have the church's command. Give them warning from me. "When I say unto the wicked," verse 18, "thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning." In other words, if you fail in your responsibility in warning the lost, "nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way." In other words, if you're asleep, if you neglect in your duty to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But here's what the Lord says to the church. "But his blood will I require at thine hand." Now, what a solemn challenge that is for preacher and for saint alike. Every saint of God has a responsibility. Verse 19, "Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Oh, it's the church's responsibility to spread forth the message of the gospel. We read in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 34 these words. Oh, listen to them. In fact, just turn over to them. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34. Here's Paul, and he's speaking to the church at Corinth. And of course, the church at Corinth had lost out with God big time. And this is what Paul says to the church: "Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Underline those words: "Awake to righteousness." This church in Corinth had fallen asleep spiritually. They were asleep as far as spreading the message of the gospel was concerned. Exhorts them to awake. Awake to righteousness. Because there were many in the city of Corinth who had not the knowledge of God. And the reason why they had not the knowledge of the truth of God was because the church was asleep. Oh, my friend, is the church in Garva asleep? Is the church in Enniskillen asleep? Are you asleep? Am I asleep? Is the Free Presbyterian Church asleep? That's the question. That's the challenge. to us all. I pray in these days that the Lord will come amongst us. The Lord will revive us again. Awake, thou that sleepest. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon God, that we perish not. Do you know the sad thing about this text? I wonder, did you notice it? In Jonah 1 verse 6, the worldly shipmaster was more concerned about the situation than Jonah, the child of God, was. This shipmaster was an ungodly man. Certainly at the beginning of the story, that was the case. The worldly shipmaster knew what Jonah should have been doing. Child of God, the world knows how the Christian should be living and acting. And of course, it's not until we make a mistake that we find out how much the world really does know about the Christian life. Because they're the first ones to point out, but she was a Christian or he was a Christian. Oh, I pray that the Lord in these days would stir us up. And that the Lord would come again into the midst of his church. And send us a breath of revival. Oh, revive thy work, O Lord. Thy mighty arm make bare, speak with a voice that wakes the dead. And make thy people hear. May God bless his word to all of our hearts.